Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Minnesota Vikings fans, the Purple People Eaters podcast returns. I am your host, Chris Carlson. Hope everybody's having a great night. I know I am. Still trying to get some of these bugs out technically, but I think we're doing better anyway, which is, that's a good thing. It's a good thing. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host in just a short little bit. We spoke on, what was that, Sunday? Gosh, that week has really gone by. We spoke Sunday. Now, obviously, coming off that crazy, crazy overtime game, you know, where we didn't lose, but we didn't win. We went over a variety of items when it came to that. And we'll kind of catch up, you know, on that, but there is a variety of things to talk about. Obviously, the Vikes and the Buffalo Bills play this Sunday. We'll definitely preview that game for week three. It's kind of an interesting game if you look at, well, not really if you look at the spread. I don't know if we'll hit that spread. Well, we'll definitely preview that. Like I said, a little bit of fallout still and some stats out there as far as things that happened in the fourth quarter we'll probably lead with. Also, we got to talk about our new and improved team. We got a brand new spanking team, and it only took week two. No, we don't have a brand new spanking team. However, we do have three new members. We have a new defensive tackle. And that's really all not that new. We know him. We know Tommy. We have a new wide receiver who I'm not that familiar with at all. I believe there's a little bit of rapport from his Washington days with Kirk Cousins. And, of course, the one that was just obvious, and we asked, you know, is Carlson going to make it a week? And he did not. Carlson is gone. We got a brand new kicker. So we'll talk about the new players, like I said, a little bit of fallout still from the Packers game, minorly anyway. We'll talk about injuries. We actually have a key injury that if you don't know, you're going to know soon. You're going to want to know, unfortunately. Although we've played with them a fair amount, you know, in the last year or so without them. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Like I said, we'll preview the Buffalo Bills game. Hopefully we get Coach Larry in here for a Packers segment just to talk about that freaking game. He'll talk about the Badgers, too. I'm sure he doesn't really want to talk about the Badgers, but we're going to force him if he can call in. And also, we'll close the show with a Minnesota Gophers football segment. They open up the Big Ten schedule, and 3-0, good start. We've lost some bodies, unfortunately, but there is a fair amount to be happy about when it comes to that. All right. If this is your first time listening to the Purple People Eaters podcast, it's the Minnesota Vikings weekly show. We stream it live basically on Fridays is what we're going to try to narrow down. It's under the umbrella of the Rope It Up Radio podcast. So it's right here, blogtalkradio.com/ropeitupradio. You can also, you know, find it on iTunes, a.k.a. Apple Podcasts, under the Rope It Up Radio podcast, Player FM, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn. It also streams live on Spotify. We're part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network as well. That streams on Spotify and on iHeartRadio. Go ahead and check out thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. Football, basketball, baseball, boxing, and everything in between. They got a great sponsor over there at thegruelingtruth.net, mybookie.ag. So head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. You can listen to a podcast. You can read an article. And, hey, while you're at it, place a bet right there, mybookie.ag. I'm going to bring in my co-host in just a moment. But, yeah, there are a couple of random stats that I'm going to kind of go over a little bit. We talked about, the lack of run game so far. Kind of a good and bad thing. It happened, well, actually a third thing, too, with Dalvin Cook that we'll get to a little bit later. But right now the Vikings, and it's just two games. So, obviously, you know, 14 games left. You don't want to look too far into this. But after the first two games, the team is averaging 3.7 per carry. Cook is only averaging 3. Obviously, it looks like we're going to get our center back. So maybe that'll, you know, help things out. But, yeah, 92 yards per game. So we definitely have to improve that. That's pretty easy to figure out. Interesting stat when it comes to Cook. He has 35 total touches. And with those touches, 18 broken or avoided tackles, which leads the NFL, Todd Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott, David Johnson, they combined for 113 touches, and they have 14 broken or avoided tackles. So that's pretty damn good. We know that about Cook, though. You know, he's all about that. Unfortunately, you know, we're going to have to mention his name as far as not, you know, being in the starting lineup. But just a little bit of fallout from that fourth quarter, and not really overtime. I'm not going to talk too much about the overtime part. But that Vikes-Packers game, it's pretty crazy, man. They put up 22 points in the fourth quarter, and they only had the ball for less than 2.5 minutes. And I didn't realize that until I started, you know, kind of going over it a little bit more and seeing some stats, but it's pretty crazy. Less than 3 minutes, 22 points. We didn't really have that damn ball long, but, you know, to be able to do that, that's crazy, man. I mean, yeah, we weren't going to start running the ball too much in the fourth quarter. We did get some timely runs like we mentioned, but that just blows me away that they were that effective. So as far as, like, you know, any more fallout from that game, I don't really want to rehash it too much. I thought that fourth quarter was interesting, the fact that we barely had the ball, yet we moved it a whole bunch. Pretty crazy to me. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Aaron, to the fray. What's going on, Aaron? How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Chris. Busy week for the Vikings. A lot to talk about, a lot of injuries, a lot of moves. Some I like, some I don't like, but I can't wait to get started talking about it. How you been?
I've been pretty good, man. I've had this week has just flown by, man. It seems like ever since I had computer issues late Thursday night, early Friday, it just kind of it just flew right by. I had the big fight with Canelo and Golovkin part two. That was really interesting. Went to a movie theater to watch it at a movie theater for $20. That was pretty fun. But yeah, this has been a busy week for the GM and company. We figured last week that, you know, we were going to have to get rid of Carlson because he can't, you know, hit the barn side of a freaking barn. And you know what? Another thing, he's sitting there staining. Like I said, he was going to stain the Carlson name and reputation, although I don't know how much of a reputation it is, you know, positive and negative on that one. But we figured he'd be out, right? I mean, we figured, yeah, he's going to be gone. You got to cut him. Morale, like you said, too, there's times where the team will be like, all right, in the fourth quarter, we got to rally again. And in the back of their head, they're like, yeah, we're going to rally again just to have Carlson shank it wide right. And the second it leaves his foot, we're going to know exactly where it's not going, or where it needs to go, I should say. But so we knew that was going to happen. Or at least we assumed it. And it happened swiftly, very swiftly. So Carlson out. What is it, Dan Bailey? Am I saying that right? I think it's Dan Bailey's in. Welcome to the squad, Dan Bailey. The second most accurate kicker in NFL history. Of course, he had some issues last year. Sometimes these kickers are like pitchers, you know what I mean? Where they'll have 2-3 years of just, you know, ace stuff, just money stuff, and then they got about 2 years of, what the hell's going on? Switch leagues, you're a brand new pitcher, and it pisses the team off that you got traded from. But it had to happen, Aaron. Are you happy with what we got at least? Because, hey, let's say he had a little problems last year. It couldn't have been worse than the problems we've been dealing with, especially last Sunday. But overall, he was being choosy. He had turned down 4 different offers, and he said he's looking for the right fit. Did he find the right fit, sir?
Yeah, I think he did. I think he could afford to be choosy. Like you said, he had 4 different offers. He's looking for a place where he could win. The Vikings did move swiftly. In fact, a little more swiftly than I had anticipated. I thought maybe they would wait a few days. I know they're trying to clear him through waivers, but I'm not sure if those 3 days have gone. I know he has to wait 3 days, and then they can pick up Carlson and put him on the practice squad if that's something they're interested in doing. And I heard some rumors that that is something they're interested in doing. So maybe, you know, your name's not as tarnished as you think it might be. Plus, there's a lot of Carlsons out there. Right. There's still a lot of Carlsons out there besides yourself to make the name worthy. So I think Dan Bailey's a good move, considering the fact that you get a pretty darn good kicker for nothing. And timely. Now, I do think back to the ghosts of 98 where we had the most accurate kicker, and he made every kick that year except for one. So let's not get too excited. But, yeah, I think it's an upgrade at the position. I think he's a far more accurate kicker, and I think you can trust him far more than you can a rookie.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it. Maybe he had a little rough patch this last little bit, but – hey, if you've been in the league for a little while, you're going to have a rough path, you know, path as a kicker. It just happens. Like I was trying to kind of, you know, parlay that, compare that to, you know, a pitcher. A lot of times you see that even maybe not a full-on elite high-level guy, but time and time again, you see a guy get traded and whatever it is, they just, you know, the new start or a different league, whatever the case is, they just start to play better. So let's hope that Bailey comes in here and does it. And you're right. You know, the most accurate kicker didn't really matter much when it came to that 98 season. You needed to still kick that one. You could have missed four that year. We wouldn't have mind. I wouldn't have mind. Would you have mind? I wouldn't. I don't think you would have mind.
Nah.
Three or four that year, that'd have been fine. No, that'd have been just fine. Just make the ones we need. Now, two other moves, and this one's interesting. Tom Johnson was let go to from the Seattle, right? And we had actually taken their defensive tackle from last year, and he's fitting in really well. Sheldon Richardson's fitting in really well. He's in the backfield a whole lot. You've just noticed the edges and the linebackers are, you know, are definitely like happy with that because some of these tackles for loss are him. You know, you have Joseph kind of just holding, you know, his ground and having two guys suck him up. You got Richardson going to the backfield. Those ends are like, just bring it to me. Come on over, bring it to me. And that's what's happening a lot of times. So really happy with Richardson. But Tom Johnson, good old Tommy Johnson. We do remember Tom Johnson about 10 years ago, when he was late hitting a guy that played for the Purple, Brett Favre. He was late hitting the shit out of him in that game, you know, along with the rest of the Saints. But Tom Johnson is back. We know on third down, he's still a hell of a player, especially, you know, that D-tackle spot. And I remember you saying this Robeson, right? Brian Robeson. So he was on third down moving on the inside and whatnot, and they were trying to mess around with that a little bit more, but they did decide to go with the youth that we had rather than keep him. What do you think of Tom Johnson coming back, whether it's depth or, you know, he's going to be able to play because he knows the system. He's been here for quite a while. Always a solid guy as long as you can limit his snaps. I think that's the problem last year. He even admitted he kind of wore down because, you know, we were asking him to do a little bit more. What do you think about bringing back Tommy?
I really like the move. I can't imagine what happened in Seattle. Maybe they just got a logjam at the position and decided to let him go. But he's real familiar with our defense. He knows what he's in for here. And I know Zimmer wants to try to do a lot of wave on the defensive line and try to get a lot of guys in there to keep them nice and fresh for later in the season. And as you were saying about Tommy getting a little gas last year, I thought, you know, that's a good move. You come in, you play him on certain downs, get a nice defensive line rotation going with a guy who's already familiar with you and you're familiar with him. So I really think it's a great move. I was surprised, as I said earlier, because I didn't see him leave in Seattle. I thought they picked him up because they needed him, but maybe one of their rookies is coming through. I'm not exactly sure what that situation was, but it's good to have him back. And like I said, he's good for the locker room, a guy that everybody knows, and he's a good producer on the field if you limit his snaps. So I'm pretty happy about that move. I know you're going to talk about Aldrich Robinson, so maybe we could talk about him because, you know, I've done a little looking into him. He's a wide receiver. Played for the Niners, I think, last time, but also has familiarity with Cousins. And so I didn't get to see much on him. I was wondering what you got to see on the path of us of Aldrich Robinson.
Well, I fired up the old tape that I had just laying around. I'm just kidding. You know, I don't know shit about him. I'm not going to act like I do. I kind of remember him at SMU, just barely a couple of highlights type thing. I do like from 2012 to 2014, just saying those dates tells me he's been in the league, right?
Right.
But, you know, while Cousins was a backup, he was too. And I remember Teddy Bridgewater and Thielen kind of getting something together. And when Thielen was ready to be in the lineup more, Teddy would kind of look for him a little bit. And so they do have some sort of rapport. If you look at his numbers, nothing's going to blow you away. In the last couple of years, let's see, the last two seasons, he's played 16 games for Atlanta and Frisco. He did make one start. In that time frame, he had 39 catches, 583 for four touchdowns. The one big thing about it, it sounds like, you know, he's up to like, he's right around 15 yards per catch. So it does seem like he's a guy that can stretch the field. And that's what I believe I remember at SMU on some deep routes. He's a speedy dude. He's only 5'10", 185, but he runs a 4.43, somewhere in there. At least that's what he was running when he came out 2011. So 2011, even if he's, you know, right in that 4.4 range still, which it sounds like he is, former track star too, just thought you'd like to know. He's got a 40-inch vert too. Should I tell you the three-cone drill, or are you okay on that one?
I think I'm okay on that one.
All right.
But if you
hey,
got it handy.
Keep that in our back pocket. We're going to keep that in our back pocket. You never know when you need a three-cone stat. You know what I'm saying? So, I think for what we need, just a guy to stretch the field or, you know, go open, you know, find a little spot in the zone. And as we can see Cousins, we're not necessarily used to seeing this, but he's going through his progressions, man. And I just, you know, watched a chunk of the game again real quick, or really just the highlights. And someone was kind of breaking it down. And you really see him getting to his third read, like, most of the time, which is beyond Bradford. We're not necessarily used to that. If you look at even the last 10 years, there hasn't been. T-Jack was kind of a one read. Ponder was a one read. Teddy started out one read, but he didn't really have much time to read the second and third. Either did Bradford, actually, now that I think about it. But, you know, this Aldrick Robinson, I think he's probably just a solid guy. I'll tell you what, Stacy Coley was a Miami Hurricane, but that's not going to, like, you know, blind me, because I know what he did at Miami anyway, which is not a whole lot. I had a great freshman year, had a good senior year. But you never know with those guys. So Coley was inconsistent, always banged up. We had to let him go. And I did want to kind of piggyback off what you're saying. I do like how if we could keep Carlson and develop him, that would be a good call too. I wanted to add that. So I think I'm all right with this pickup. There were some other guys out there. I didn't necessarily want to bring in Dez Bryant. I'm not necessarily ready to just, you know, throw the guy we thought could be a third and Treadwell all the way out. He just got to catch the ball before running. So I think he might be one of those fit guys, you know, just a good fit. And, hey, if he can press one more guy deep, it kind of leaves, you know, things open for Diggs and company as well. So I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, wait till you see this guy. You know what I mean? I'm not going to say that, but I don't think they'd go get this guy if Cousins didn't have some sort of, you know, rapport and something positive to say about the guy.
Yeah, I mean, I would be inclined to agree with all that. He's a burner. He's, you know, down the field type of guy. I think he's also competition in camp, and maybe give something for Treadwell to take a look at. You know, just kind of an insurance policy is the kind of way I look at it. Not like we thought about Kendall Wright, but, you know, obviously didn't get cut and got brought on. So, you know, I think he's a guy you'll see maybe on a few third downs, maybe on a few running plays. But, yeah, I don't think you're going to see a heck of a lot of him unless we come up with some sort of injury.
Yeah, you're right. It's probably a depth and a veteran at that. Then Coley is a young player that's still trying to find himself, had a drop last week. So I think he's just better than him overall. You're right, probably depth. And yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things that, you know, we did have a guy here that was a perfect third down wide receiver for years and years and years. And just a quick little guy. And I actually had a good game last week. I realized we couldn't necessarily keep him price-wise, but, man – he's sure looking like a good Wright is sure looking like a good mix now, and that's the other Wright, not the guy we had signed. I still kind of thought, what was the thought process there? I mean, I don't understand why that free agent didn't work out. It was kind of like, huh, the guy's been productive. You figure we already had the offensive coordinator in place. So, you know, when we went out and signed him to try to be our third wide receiver. So maybe it was just Tomlinson showing, or not Tomlinson, maybe it was Treadwell just showing a whole lot. And they were confident in that, almost like the kicker where, hey, yeah, look at this. He's showing a lot. Let's get rid of the other guy. I don't know, but we'll see. We'll definitely see. And let's just kind of linger in this area. We did have, we got some injury news. Like it or not. Unfortunately, I thought it was an ankle. I guess it's a hamstring. But there's no Dalvin Cook this week. He is going to sit on the sidelines. He's out, which is, I'm not going to say a shocker, but I was a little surprised. I did know he got banged up in that game. In fact, I was like, ugh, is he okay? The last two games, actually, there's been a moment where, and maybe it's just me, you know, being paranoid, but there has been a moment there where you see Cook on the ground, you're like, are you okay? Are you good? But who knows? Everson Griffith is dealing with is dealing with a knee injury as well. He didn't practice the last practice, but he's going to be a good to go. Same with David Morgan and Marcus Sherrills. McKenzie Alexander had an ankle and a thumb. And Rashad Hill sounds like he's going to play. We talked about him. Did we, you know, lose him? He didn't practice in the last practice with that ankle, but he should be good to go. So no Cook. I'm not, you know, first of all, we're a 17-point favorite. So that does, you know, ease our mind a little bit. And, hey, we did have a pretty darn good season without him, you know, for a chunk of the time. So it's not like we're completely screwed. Do you think they're just kind of being careful or maybe a little bit over careful knowing we're playing Buffalo? Or do you think they're like, hey, he can't go. There's only 16 of these things. He would go if he could go. I was a little bit surprised about no Dalvin Cook for Sunday.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think they're being precautionary. They got two games in 10 days. They got the LA Rams. They got to fly down there and play them. I feel like they're going to hold some guys back that probably normally would play. Let's say you were playing Chicago or Detroit this week. They'd probably play. Probably Griffin would play. Cook would play. When Cook went down last week, I heard it was cramps. Turns out it's a hamstring, or at least that's what they're telling us. I think they're going to sit him out and just get him ready for the Rams. Sherrill's got ribs, and that's tough. I've broken a rib, and he can barely breathe, and you can't move, and it's tough on ribs. Morgan, I heard, is out. Now, I'm not sure what he's got. I think you said an ankle. Give some time to the rookie, I guess, Conklin, and let him play. I think we're just going to hold a bunch of guys out. If they got any kind of nick, let them get healthy for Thursday in the Rams. I think that's the general plan. At least I hope it is. I think it's a good plan. Why play him? I don't think you're going to need him against Buffalo, but, you know, at any given Sunday, so you're not sure exactly. Nothing's given to you in the league. But I think for the most part, cautionary on most of these guys. Get them rested. Get them healthy. Get them ready to play L.A. It's going to be a big game as far as the conference is concerned.
Yeah, that's a good call. And I also, just to add on to that, and by the way, it's down to 16.5 now. Once Cook has been out, it dropped to 0.5. We're only 16.5 favored now. So they may want to take a look at that. And, oh, boy, here we go. You know, the matchup predictor, according to ESPN's Football Power Index, gives the Vikings a 90.7 chance compared to Buffalo with that 9.2 chance. Kind of fun to talk about this stuff a little bit, but I think you're right about that. I think that they're like, because he practiced, from what I knew, he practiced this week. He didn't show up in the he's not gonna practice, so I would assume it's cautionary. And I almost forgot though about that Thursday game. For some reason, I was thinking it was the week after that Thursday. So, yeah, that would be nice to have him. I guess you could say fresh or healed hamstring in general. Skilled players and hamstrings, especially offensive players, they don't go hand in hand. They're the opposite of hand in hand. You know what I mean? It's not a good look. So why not just calm them down? And we got enough depth. Sure, we don't have, you know, the scat back we had last year to go along with the bigger back. But you know what? I think we'll be okay. And like we were saying, this is the Bills. They did get beat 47-3 week one, which is how do you get beat 47-3 in the NFL? Can I ask you that? That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah,
you don't see that score.
Yeah, it is. That is strange. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, diss on the Bills or anything. I'm sure they're trying their best. But, you know, I can't help but think you're going to put a struggling rookie quarterback against an experienced and talented Viking defense. I got to like our chances there. And I feel like if you can sit guys and maybe turn it into a bye week, sort of a bye week for some guys, let them get a little rested, I think that's a really good move. And, you know, as much as you want to see them play at home and, you know, I think they're going to play Cousins. I don't think he's going to play the whole game, though. I think if they jump out to a 21-point lead or even 14, something that our defense can handle, I think you'll see Cousins sit too. Maybe Simeon will come in and finish out the game. And that's best-case scenario, of course. I mean, the Bills might have something up their sleeve. I can't imagine what it would be. But, you know, in case of an emergency, you guess you got to play Cousins the whole game. I'm wondering if that is the case, you know, why don't you sit either Thielen or Diggs or maybe even both of them and put Treadwell out there, let him get, you know, 12, 13 targets and see what you got. I mean, I really trust our defense against this one. I don't think Josh Allen has it in him to beat us, especially this defense and at home. I just don't see that. So I wonder why, if you're going to sit some guys, why not sit more guys, particularly defensive guys? You're going to sit Griffin, and that's good. You move Hunter over to the right defensive end, and I don't know who you're going to put on the left, but or I might have the right and left confused, but I think you know what I'm saying there. So,
yeah.
I think you're going to see a lot of younger guys. I think you're going to see a lot of, once the game is in hand, you're going to see look a lot like maybe a preseason game might look.
Sure. And it is a little bit, I mean, we can't handle it all the way like a college game per se, but like you said, you can kind of go with the feel of the game. We could jump up. And I misspoke. I hadn't refreshed this page or something about the injury report, but you're right. Griffin is out, and Sherrills is out too. I thought he was actually going to play, but I'm getting this list. LeSean McCoy is questionable on the Buffalo Bills side. Same with Ray McCloud III. Otherwise, not too much to worry about there. Like you said, Josh Allen, what'd they have? What was the guy named? Pyramid or something like that? They opened up the year. They had Taylor, and they ended up going with Pyramid. And now Josh Allen as well played. So it's kind of interesting. You know, I actually had work today during the day, and at the bar we had some Bills fans come in, and they were really cool, laid-back people. And just kind of, you know, talking about Minneapolis and whatnot and some things to do while you're there and whatnot. But they were pretty much, they were kind of just giving us the game. It's like, you know, we're not going to win, but I'm just happy. I'm on vacation, and I want to see the new stadium and this, that, and the third. And it was kind of cool. They weren't up here trying to cause any problems. Like sometimes some fans will just start barking at you. Like, dude, I'm just waiting on you, man. I didn't say anything about your squad. You know, just calm down. I believe that your squad could win, too. The over-under is set at 40.5, like I said, now down to 16.5 rather than 17. through two games, they're giving up 39 points on defense, which is not good. But, you know, when you get that 47-3, you know, that's going to happen. Another stat, I suppose they didn't need to run. Okay. Gosh, that's funny. I was looking at this run stat, I was like, how's that? But it's not, it makes sense, actually, now that I think about it. So There is some still some tickets available for those wondering. You can get them at Vivid Seats, starting as low as $65 to check out the U.S. Bank Stadium. So at half, we'll be feeling pretty good about ourselves, and maybe we can go into get the younger players more reps. I mean, that really makes sense with Tom Johnson this week, because he could probably play the end as well if he needs to. With Griffith out, I didn't know 100% that Everson was going to be out. What do you feel? You think this will carry into the third, deeper in the third, or you think that we're just going to kind of be up comfortably by half and kind of just skate away? You think Vegas is right for the 16.5, or, you know, the NFL has a way of having some weird games once in a while.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of guys to try on the other side of Griffin. You got Weatherly, you got Bauer, you got a lot of young guys you can rotate in there. Vegas, yeah, I don't know if I'd do that, because if you're going to play the young players, you're probably not going to score that many points, you know. So I think what you're going to do is, I think we'll have it at hand probably at the half. My gut's telling me that, at least be in control. So maybe something like 14-3 or, 17-3, 17-6, something like that, where and the defense is, you know, dominating. And I think that's probably what you're going to look at about halftime. And then you start to put in the younger guys. And, you know, I'm sure that, you know, it's hard to tell with the Bills because they're dealing with so many issues. They got the Leslie Frazier issue where they're not letting him call plays anymore. And the guy quit last week, Devontae Davis thing. And
I was going to ask you about that. I was going to ask you about that. But Devontae Davis, he just left at half. I mean,
yeah. How
bizarre is that? I mean, hey, if you want to give it up, you don't want any more concussions, your health, whatever the reason is, it's cool. But at halftime?
Right. I think it might be tied to the Leslie Frazier thing where, you know, he's really in line with Leslie Frazier, and they take away Frazier's playbook, and this guy's really loyal to Frazier and probably maybe got upset and said, all right, I'm out. You know, something made him say I'm out. I'm not sure what it is. Maybe concussions. He can make up a ton of excuses, but the bottom line is he just didn't want to play for the Bills anymore. And I'm not sure he's done as a player, but who's going to take on a guy that quits at halftime? So, yeah, it's an interesting
situation.
It's hard to read, really, because you get a lot of the PR stuff and you can't really see through what really happened. You know, but it is odd. I've never seen or heard of in all of my football years and of watching and playing anybody just, you know, literally quit at halftime. So, you know,
I mean,
yeah,
Randy Moss
situation.
Didn't even do that. Moss didn't even quit during halftime. You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah, right. It's odd, you know. So I don't know. It seems like there's a big cloud swirling over the Bills' head, and I just don't think they're going to get a lot done on Sunday. But, you know, maybe they come fighting back, and Bills have been known to do that, play some miracle games. So, you know, you just got to watch it. I know Zimmer's talking about them like they're the 85 Bears. You know, that's what. That's
the
how
deal.
He gets
his
team.
It's a tough squad. Yeah. I don't know what you guys are talking about there, but this is a tough squad. They wake up, they put their legs, one pant leg by the time. They're human beings. They're out there getting paid, right? They got two eyes. I don't even have two eyes.
So he's like, you know, he's talking about them like their front seven. And, yeah, they got a decent front seven, but he just doesn't want to let his team take a breath at all, and I respect that. I think that's a good way to go. But, yeah, I mean, I remember years ago, I don't remember, I think we were still at in the Metrodome where we gave up a 4th-and-18 to the Bills and lost. This was, I don't know what season that was. It had to have been. God, 2013, 2014, or something like that.
Yeah.
But that was an embarrassing loss, and I think that was under Zimmer's watch his first year when he was trying to, you know, change the defense over. So I think he's got that stuck in his brain as well as kickers and guys dropping balls. So I'm sure he's losing a lot of sleep at night, but that's just the way he rolls.
Yeah, 100%. So, of course, we're both picking the Minnesota Vikings this week. Is there anything else Viking related that you want to get to before we have a quick little segment here on our 3-0 Minnesota Gophers?
What do you think about the Rams game coming up? I know we'll talk about that next week. You know, just your impressions right now. They got a pretty stacked defense and a pretty stacked team. And I just want, you know, if we're taking all this precaution going into there, we must think pretty highly of them. And I haven't seen them play this year. Have you seen them play at all? And what are your impressions 2 weeks out?
Just saw a little bit of it. Based off last year, their team and playing them, it was a very tight game. They do definitely have a solid offense or a defensive line. And they added to their team. It looks like they are definitely trying to keep, you know, going, keep the thing going that they finally got turned around last year. I'll say this. We better stop the run, you know, more consistently than we have as far as chunk plays, because they do have they got a running game with that Gurley kid, that Todd Gurley kid. They seem formidable. I mean, they seem right up in the hunt, top three. I mean, what is it, Philly, us, and them right now? I mean, sure, you could probably look at other teams and say, oh, they're hot, or look at Tampa scoring a bunch of points or whatever. But I'm saying that when push comes to shove, the fact that they can get after you, their defense is very sound, like you said. I think it's going to be a tough game, man, especially it's on the road, right? Yeah, we're traveling.
Oh, yeah, it's in L.A.
So that,
yeah, it's in L.A., Yeah, it's going to be a tough one, I think. I like our chances just because of Cousins. If he plays well, I think we'll pull that out. But, yeah, like I said, we'll probably get into it more next week. But, yeah, I mean, it's what I'm thinking about now. I don't want to overlook the Bills, of course. You know, you got to play every game. But it's one of those games, if you can win that one, then you got the tiebreaker against them. So it's got its implications. You want to talk some Gophers? Let's talk some Gophers.
Yeah, and just real quick, inexperience at QB for the Bills, that's clear. And they're having O-line issues. And if you're having offensive line issues, we're definitely not squad you want to face. It's not a good look. Even if you have a good offensive line, our defense shows up. But if you're having struggles protecting the quarterback, it's like putting a bunch of blood in the water, because our defense and the guy calling the plays, they're just sharks, you know. They're after that blood. Yep. Let's talk a little bit of Gophers. So the Gophers are 3-0 now. Had a fairly easy game last week. They left plenty to be desired on the field. Several plays that they could, a couple of drives they could have finished, even if it's points with the field goal, whatever the case is. And by the way, punting and kicking, special teams, they're good to go. The Gophers have the punter. I know it sounds funny, but the punter had one of the better days I've seen as a punter. He was, I mean, talk about ball control. I mean, you could play ball control with him. And then, you know, that kicker already has a game where he hit two 50-plus field goals. We could have used him last week in the pros. But so they're 3-0, halfway to a bowl game, 6-6. Of course, there is a scenario where 5-7 gets you in if enough teams are 5-7. But we don't want to think that way. We want to think we're going to at least win six games. We got Maryland. We're actually traveling to Maryland, I believe. Yeah, we're traveling to Maryland. And basically, it's close to a pick'em type game. The over-under's 48. Maryland's kind of a hit-or-miss program right now. They got a coach that loves to yell at you, and he may treat you unfairly. At least that's the reports. I'm surprised he didn't. And nowadays, with the you know how it is right now, touchy feely. Sometimes it's good to fire someone for legitimate reasons. Other times, people get fired and you go, "Really, for that? Okay." I'm surprised he hasn't been fired, to be honest with you, just from some of those rumors that were swirling out there about his treatment of a couple of players or whatever. And I think he made somebody that was hurt play? It's like, oh, really? A coach telling you to get out there and play. Walk it off. You ever heard of walk it off? Put some dirt on it? I mean, come on. Anyway, so Maryland, what are we going to get out of the Terps? Are we going to get, you know, the 34-29 really nice win early? Actually, I think that was game one against Texas. Or are we going to get the squad that looked kind of just real pedestrian against Temple? Actually, Temple is a decent club. They're not that bad. You know, the QB, Anikstead, is a little banged up. We may get a two quarterback system this week. I really think that could be the case. Hill's a pretty good quarterback. This is going to be a little bit more option-driven football. Kasim Hill is, I think he's a redshirt freshman. I believe he's a redshirt freshman. He's not going to complete a lot of passes, but, you know, they're not going to ask him to chuck around the ball a lot either. So they definitely have a running-type system. As far as, you know, injury side, we didn't talk about the Gophers last week, but, you know, losing the running back Smith, man, the guy who just – a staple in the locker room and on the field. The guy's a stud. He'll, you know, be able to pop through a hole. He'll make a hole. He's quick enough to, you know, get some speed and maybe not separate, but go for long runs. And he just, you know, he could catch the ball as well. So that really sucks. Although we got to give credit where credit's due. Running back wise, we had a true freshman step in there and go for like a buck something. I think it was like a – I can't remember exactly how much it was. But and we also have this Muhammad guy that's going to be back, so we'll be able to get him some carries as well. I think that'll be key. Williams is his name. What the hell is his first name? Bryce Williams, true freshman.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, we plugged him in, and he goes for three – last week, 33 attempts for a buck 41. Had 25 attempts for 87 the week before. So, and we won't have to just give him every damn carry. We do have Shannon Brooks coming back a little bit later this season. Are you worried about the depth at running back? One, you know, first part question. And two, because we are going to get Shannon Brooks for four games this year. But if you look ahead, and you got to kind of look ahead with P.J. Fleck in this, you know, in the program in general, what he's building. Next year, though, Aaron, I love our depth at tailback with Brooks and yeah. Smith back for their super, super senior year. Give the offensive line and everyone around them another year of development. Sign me up. Of course, it's not next year. Are you kind of worried, or is it like, we got these young backs, they'll be okay. We do have Shannon Brooks. It's just rough, man. We only have probably five or six players that you can look to and go, yeah, that dude's a stud, and Smith was one of them.
Yeah, I'm not worried at all. In fact, you hit a couple of my points. Depth at running back this year, we got the two freshmen, one redshirt, one true. Bryce will play now. I don't know what PJ is going to do about the four games with Bryce. Try to redshirt him and maybe bring up another back or maybe put Shannon in at that time. But so you got Bryce Williams and Muhammad Ibrahim going to run the football on Saturday, tomorrow. And they're both look good to me. I've seen Ibrahim in the first game. I really liked the way he ran. And Bryce Williams looks like he's going to be a very good player. So I'm kind of hoping they do redshirt him. Because next year you're going to have the two offensive linemen we picked up, recruited this year with the big Filele kid and the other kid, Curtis Dunlap, who are just monsters on the offensive line. So you're going to look at that. You're going to have four seasoned running backs. And PJ always says, you know, you need a pair and a spare. But here you got a pair and a spare and a spare going into that year. Two seniors in Brooks and Smith, and then the two young kids, one will be a a sophomore and the other one hopefully a redshirt freshman. I hope that PJ can hold back on Bryce a little bit and just say, okay, we'll do four games with him and then go ahead and put him on the shelf for the rest of the year, so we'll have him for next year. But he might not, considering the fact that we'll have those two other running backs coming back. So I'm not concerned at all about depth this year, because this year, like I said, in my head, it's, you know, year 0.1. Because you're just getting these recruiting classes and really excited about the next class. And, you know, you build that class on that third class coming in when these kids will be juniors. It's going to be ridiculous if you just keep it up the way it is. He's got a lot of really good freshmen this year with the cornerback, Terrell Smith, I think. He looks really good. He's a tall kid, 6'1", 200 pounds, kind of guys that you want to have at corner. So I really think, you know, we're heading in a very good direction as far as depth and running back this year and next year. It's surprising that we're going to get those two backs in a super senior year. That's quite a proposition. So, yeah, I'm not too concerned about it. And you don't seem too concerned either.
Yeah. It'd be different if it's 2 years from now and, you know, one of our stud goes down or something like that and we got a legitimate chance to win our side of the division or something like that. Then I'd be like, oh, man. But to get those two back, that'll just add depth. And then we won't have to rely on them, you know, so much anyway overall. And, yeah, I mean, the recruiting class is almost spoken for. Obviously, things change from here until signing day. But it's right around there. There's only, like, two slots available. I'm sure it'll be more like three or four because there could be some maneuvering, you know, late, last second. But, I mean, Johnson at wide receiver is just picking up where he left off. And you're starting to see that, you know, Ottman Bell and Bateman and these guys are just making plays, man. And I like what I see. I like what I see on the field, no doubt about it. I do feel like this game could – I mean, it's a fourth quarter game for sure. It may be one of those games where whoever has the ball last wins the game, and that may be a field goal. That also may be, you know, the victory formation. So technically they'd still have it last, you know what I mean? I really feel like this one's going to be kind of a grinded-out type game, but I am going with the Golden Gophers from Minnesota. Is there anything else you'd like to speak upon, sir, before we get on out of here?
Oh, just my last thoughts on the Maryland game. I think you're pretty – I agree with you. I think it'll be the team with the ball last. I think it's going to be not the prettiest game in the world. I think it's going to be a grinded-out game. And, you know, I just don't know how I feel about all these freshmen going on the road for the first time. They're either going to be really hyped up and just, you know, play really, really well, or they're going to be too hyped up and not play so well, or they're going to be flat and not play well at all. It's just you're going to – really have to take a look and see how they handle going on the road. I think they're going to go on the road and play well. I think they win. I say Gophers by 3, something like that, 3 or 7 or 2, something like that. But like you said, looking forward to the future. The game after that, I don't know who we play after. Do you know who we play after Maryland?
Fortunately, I think we have a bye this early and then Iowa.
Okay,
that's
Iowa homecoming, yeah. Yeah, so that'll be a tough game. But, yeah, so I'm going with the Gophers against Maryland, but not by much. And I wouldn't be surprised if they drop this one, but I don't think they'll get blown out at all. And that's really all I have to add. I'm looking forward to the Bills on Sunday and seeing how that goes down. And, you know, other than that, should be a pretty exciting weekend for Minnesota football.
Yeah, definitely. And real quick before we go, former Gopher lineman Nick Conley died Wednesday. He's battling a young guy, 22, 23 years old, something like that. And 4 months after being diagnosed with cancer, he passes. It's just like, wow, man. Sometimes you hear about, you know, some forms of cancer and how advanced it is when you find out you have it. And not 4, 6, 8 months later, the person passed. It's pretty sad. So I definitely want to bring that up and rest in peace to the former Gopher lineman. I think that about wraps it up. We're probably going to have to get – I just thought about this. We're probably going to have to get a little crafty on the next show because of that Thursday game. Maybe we'll do a Friday post-show. Maybe that's probably – maybe that'd be better because I don't think schedule-wise we'll be able to pull that off, will we? Because I work that night, a Sunday night.
I'm going to be available on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday from now on. We'll talk about that off air.
Okay.
But,
cool.
I mean, if we can pull something out of pregame, that'd be nice.
I definitely won't be able to do – oh, yeah, pregame. I got you. Yeah, I was trying to – I was thinking this Sunday for some reason. But, yeah, well, we're okay then. We're good. We're good to go. We're going to definitely be good to go on that front. So we'll definitely be back to talk about – well, we're obviously going to recap the Bills game. Hopefully it's a Viking victory. And then we'll take a look at, you know, one of the hardest games we have on our schedule, especially, you know, with it being on the road. Anyway, enjoy the game on Sunday. We'll be back. This is the Purple People Eaters podcast, and we're here every week to talk Minnesota Vikings. Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you feel you have the upper hand. So now, as you fight, let's say you fight 4 or 5 years of straight survival, the bullshit, the holdback, and when you become the world champion, you're like, you know what, I made it. I'm going to show you it's this. So I'm going to give every dollar worth of what I deserve.